Here's Burns, great ball in, there's the equaliser. James Troisi picking up where he left off in the Asian Cup final, and Australia are all square again. And it's going to be Jedinak to curl it, and Jedinak to score, and Australia lead the world champions by 2-1, and well might their coach smile. Their skipper delivers from the set piece.
Well, Andy Hub was calling the game, and I know Ange Postecoglou told Andy and the boys afterwards that he was incredibly proud of his players. Andy, good morning.
KB, how are you?
I'm going great. It was a great game for Australia today against Germany. We just didn't quite hang on, but Ange said he was just so proud, incredibly proud of his players because they went toe-to-toe with the best in the world.
Indeed, with one day's preparation as well for this particular game. So it was a huge performance. And you know, more disappointing than allowing Germany to equalise, because Germany had a couple of goals in them. And more disappointing than that was the fact that Australia wasn't well clear by then. I mean, they had a pile of opportunities, well-crafted, thoroughly deserved, out of great play, to have been further ahead than they were. It's that was the only disappointment on the outing. Actually, it was otherwise just a fantastic night.
Do you think we shocked Germany? Did Germany expect us to be that good?
Well, their coach wouldn't have been surprised, because we heard him speak before the game, and he's watched Australia's development, particularly under Ange. Of course, sometimes communicating that message through to your players, who front of mind might be accepting what you're saying, but they've got to see it to believe it. And still, given it's not just the rankings, but you know, probably our best player on the night, Matthew Lecky, is Germany's Bundesliga 2. And they, you know, it's hard for players to process exactly what threat might be almost upon you when you're looking at your opponents and the player you know best plays in the league below you. And so they would have, in the front of mind, been up for an Australian team which plays a highly sophisticated game. But they had to see it to believe it. And by that stage, Australia had probably caught them. And then, by the time Germany had realised it was time for them to play, they also realised that it wasn't just that they'd given Australia, cut them a bit too much slack. It was that they were up for a very well-organised and well-coached team, irrespective of the leagues from which those players are drawn.
Well, you mentioned Matthew Lecky. You know, some of the SMSs are saying he should have scored very early in the game, and so should have Nathan Burns. And I suppose that's what you're saying, Andy, where maybe Australia dominated Germany early in the game, but the fact we went 1-0 down, we could have thrown in the towel thinking, well, we're against the World Cup champions and maybe we're not good enough. But then to come back and hit the front and then for 31 minutes hold that lead 2-1, that was extraordinary.
Yeah, well, this is the big thing under Ange's regime. It's what he believes, and hopefully other people are starting to believe it now. Because the players believe they are good enough. And whilst other coaches who've been in that situation with Australian teams wouldn't in their heart of hearts believed the team was good enough, the players were good enough, ultimately that message one way or other would have got through to the players and they would have delivered on that promise that we're not good enough. But Ange has changed that mentality completely. Why aren't you good enough? Of course you're good enough. You can receive the ball, pass the ball, etc. So let's play like that. And he's changed that mentality. If people haven't seen that progress and seen that is true of the impact he has on his teams, then they better take a closer look. And more so than the game against Germany, KB, was the World Cup match against Chile. The first game of the World Cup, Australia under a lot of pressure. 12 minutes into the game, we were down by 2 goals. I was in the ground for that game in Cuiabá, and most of us at the ground and most people watching on television thought at 2-0, Australia were going to collapse completely. This was going to be a bloodbath. What we learnt that night in Cuiabá is that once the players got the early 15 minutes cobwebs out, they settled themselves. They never deviated from the Postecoglou mantra. They grew to believe in it more and more. And at the end of that match, we're lucky to lose it. Should have had a draw, if not won it. Now, that was the moment that was seminal, as far as I'm concerned, in the Postecoglou era to date. And so then when you fast forward to playing the world champions Germany in Germany and you go down by a goal, we know that the team can fall back on those foundations, and they did it again this morning and then outplayed Germany. Can you believe you're hearing it? I can't believe I'm saying it. The long periods of the game.
Outplaying Germany. And, of course, also in the eyes of most people, Timmy Cahill still is Australia's scoring machine. He didn't play today. Sporanovic didn't play. Massimo Luongo, who's seen as, you know, the next big star of Australian soccer, wasn't there as well. So all these players that Ange has been playing over the period of time he's been coach has given this side some depth.
Yeah. Well, you look at the defence line today, KB. Ivan Franjic, Jason Davidson played during the Asian Cup. It's true. They haven't played since. And they didn't play before. They've had no club football at all. In the centre of defence at the Asian Cup was Mats Baranovic and Trent Sainsbury. Sainsbury was outstanding. Both of those players were missing today. So the back four today was the tried and tested and ever reliable Alex Wilkinson, but not a first choicer at the moment, you'd have to say. And Luke De Veer playing on debut, with, flanked by fullbacks who've played no club football for a month. And to have players just come in and pick up where they left off, and then in Luke De Veer's case, come in and get used to things pretty quickly. And his last couple of years, he's hardly played club football as well for one reason or another. It was a hugely encouraging night. And again, the dressing room of the Socceroos, they believe to the very core of their being that what Ange is saying to them and what they're responding to is going to work in the long term. It's evidently going to take a bit longer for the cognoscenti who sit, drink coffee, drink beer and watch the game to believe that this is actually happening. But it's true. And, you know, what no one has said so far is that the vast bulk of that team that took on Germany today is a product of the A-League. This is the importance of the A-League. These are the strides that the A-League is making. And it's only going to get better.
Andy Harper's joined us from Fox Sports Soccer, of course, and commentating the game today, that 2-2 draw alongside with Germany. Some of the SMSs coming up, they want to ask the question about ranking points. They know it was a friendly win, but do we get any ranking points for drawing with Germany?
Yeah, you would. Of course you would. And they would have been better if you beat them. that's certainly a peripheral issue. It's true. But the most important thing about the ranking points at the moment in the short term has been done and dusted. The rankings are most important when you get to the draw time for competitions. And to make sure you're either a seed or you avoid a dangerous seed. Now, for Asian qualifying, which starts next in June, the draw for it is next month in Kuala Lumpur, Australia, because of the Asian Cup performance, had already got themselves into the top 8 seeds in Asia, which is what they needed to avoid another one of the big ones in Asia. But the point that one or more, apparently, of your listeners has made is a good one. It's worth considering. It's not the reason you go out to try and win these friendly games. They're a bigger fish to fry, but it's a very worthy byproduct of that.
Ange Postecoglou, of course, has done extraordinary things since he's taken over. And I tell you what else comes off the message bank, Andy, is that a lot of people think that now that we're on the world stage and Ange has been seen at the World Cup and winning the Asian Cup and now with these friendlies and we've got Macedonia coming up in 4 or 5 days' time as well and the performance against Germany, that we may lose him in the future, that other countries and other competitions will see Ange Postecoglou and try and get him away.
Yeah, well, I think there's a degree of inevitability about that, which is a good thing, unfortunately, if I can sound like I'm hedging my bets. You know, Ange is a big thinker. He's one of the biggest thinkers in the game. He's one of the best coaches in the game, bar none. And people might think I'm crazy for saying that, but you look at the player list that he has at his disposal and what he does with it compared to some of the big countries in the world. Now, There's a whole heap of context that's got to go with that, but he can hold his own. And you only have to see the comments before this game and the exchange after the game from the world champion coach, Jurgen Löw, about what he's watched Postecoglou do. And the coaches know what he's achieving. And so it would be great for Australian football, great acknowledgement for the game here, for Ange to be a bit of a torchbearer, probably in Europe at some point. There's a lot of work to be done now. And what we have to do now as a game, which is, and I'm stopping short of saying Ange has become a sacred cow who can't be criticised. But by and large, the platform that he's established is the way the game has to go. And what we have to do is to encourage more coaches into his mentality. Because what we've seen in the short term, KB, enormous value for the Socceroos, but at the cost of the A-League. Without Ange running one of the A-League clubs, firstly Brisbane Roar and secondly at Melbourne Victory, although I have to say that Kevin Muscat is doing a fantastic job, there's no question. But having someone of Ange's stature out of the competition takes some of the heat out of the competition, because he just makes people chase him. Even if his team's not coming first, the way his team plays forces the issue. And we've lost that to a certain extent with him moving into the international sphere. And we might lose him down the track when he goes to a European opportunity, if that comes to pass. What we have to do at the moment is take on board the platform that is established, and we have to encourage more Australians into that mentality rather than the old-style, pragmatic, European, counter-attacking, sit back, don't lose, whatever you do. Whatever the hell you do, don't lose, and let's see if we can jag a result on the counter-attack. And just totally thrown that out the window, and we need more people to start feeding off that.
Well, it's fantastic for the game. Just one final question, Andy. You mentioned before about Matthew Lecky playing in the Bundesliga and being in, you know, the second division and playing against this World Cup side. Does that mean also, Andy, it's twofold that, you know, the players that are playing now are going to be put on the world stage under Ange and playing well, and maybe in terms of contracts and the bigger clubs chasing our players, maybe that's going to be one of the, you know, the great things for those who play for the Socceroos now.
No, there's no question about that either, KB. Look, Matthew Lecky just signed with Ingolstadt, I think, before or soon after the World Cup. I thought his World Cup exploits would have seen him go to a higher league, but he's stayed where he is in a good club, evidently, and he's doing very well, and he's very obviously still progressing. And he can go to a higher league once he starts scoring goals at international level. That's the obvious thing that's missing, but his general play has been so good. Mas Luongo's another one, came in at the Asian Cup, and all of a sudden there's talk about him going up the food chain. There'll be more. I guess the next biggest move will be for Matt Ryan. I mean, if coaches watching Germany play as the champions of the world and seeing this Australian goalkeeper as good with his feet as any player almost on the field, this is the way the modern game has evolved. And Matt Ryan, not just his shot-stopping abilities, all that question marks over the first goal Australia conceded with Matt Ryan, but after that, outside of that, he was outstanding. And then under pressure, in general play, from Germany's forwards, he had the coolness to bring the ball down, turn away from opposing players like he was playing in centre midfield. Well, his shot-stopping ability, his goalkeeping ability in general, and his ability to play as an extra field player is going to mean that Matt Ryan will move, I'd reckon, pretty quickly from Club Bruges. And you're right, this the window dressing, the window shopping that the Socceroos are providing at the moment for the development of these players is going to send them to bigger and better club careers, which in turn will feed back into the success of the Socceroos.
Absolutely, playing better competitions, the players get bigger and better. Proud day for the Socceroos today. Ange, it was a great broadcast too. Thanks for bringing it to us, and thanks for joining us today.